again, good evening, and thanks for joining us for Between the Notes, broadcasting here live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio. I'm your host this evening, Susie Prez. Sit back, relax, and be inspired as you listen to this interview and some original songs from Tammy and Dave Gunter from Bridges Home. They will be sharing ideas, insights, and a bit about their personal songwriting journey, opening an exclusive window into their creative process behind the songs. So welcome, Tammy and Dave.
Thanks, Susie. Great to be here.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you here this evening. You're a musical duo known as Bridges Home.
That's correct. We've been Bridges Home for about 7 years-ish. Started out playing just two instruments, the acoustic guitar and the tenor ukulele, and doing exclusively covers until we had some close friends give us a nudge. One of those was a local guy that a lot of people know named Steve Garvin, who has a little bit of a background in the music world, and he enjoyed what we did, but he said, if you guys want to break out of wine bars and kind of a regional scene and start doing festivals, you've got to do originals. So we took it to heart.
And started writing music. Well, this show is about songwriting and your process for creating original music. And, you know, we want to hear you perform some of your songs. But first, let's start at the beginning. And so normally I only interview one person at a time. And having two is great. So let's start with Tammy. What's your musical background, your formal training? I know you're a teacher and you teach students music. When did you start playing music? Where did it all begin for you?
Oh, man. I was a very little girl. At about the age of three, I wanted to play piano, but we didn't have a piano. And when I was five, my mom bought a lottery ticket and happened to win $500. And so with that money, she bought a piano, and I started taking piano lessons at that point, and never stopped until I was done with college as far as taking the piano lessons, and sang in, actually, my mom was our church choir director, youth choir, and so I was part of her choir, and of course in high school as well, musical groups and so on. And then went and got my music degree at Jamestown College in North Dakota. And here I am today.
And here you are.
So still teaching music.
And teaching music. It's really played a central theme in your life, it sounds like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I actually intended to be an opera singer first and had applied to several music schools for my master's and ended up actually getting pregnant. And so
detour.
Because of that, yes, it was a slight detour.
Not a lot of work for pregnant opera singers?
Yeah, I just thought, I think I'll just go be a music teacher instead. Mm-hmm. And, so it all worked out fine.
And that passion probably goes into your teaching, and you see the value of it with students every day.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm glad I am where I am.
That's wonderful. And Dave, same question. Your musical background, formal training, when did you start?
I started pretty early. I was one of those little toddlers who was probably singing before I was walking, and I was lucky that my dad had a very eclectic LP collection, everything from Broadway shows to really, really great old scratchy Appalachian hill music and everything in between. And he and I used to sit and listen albums for hours on end, and I got an earful of just a great mix. I didn't really realize that there were different genres of music. I was under the impression that there was just lots of music, and some of it sounded different from others. Like Tammy, I played in a couple of little folk groups when I was a kid. In fact, one of my first bona fide appearances was compliments of Charlie Packard when a buddy of mine went in with our dads to a Rubens restaurant where Charlie was playing, and he and the guys in the band said, hey, get on up here. And then they let us play for about 20 minutes. We were we were in Hog Heaven, and then just kept playing different groups, rock and roll groups, R&B groups, and Tammy and I met through musical theater, and then decided
we'd... Singing with the big band.
Singing with the big band in a vocal group, yep, that was fun, and then here in town, and then decided to try acoustic music together in a rock and roller's voice and an operatically trained soprano's voice, somehow Beauty and the Beast, it worked out.
It blended, and that was one of my questions. So when did you start playing music together? It was a while ago. How many years, maybe?
Well, it's been, like 20 years since we were singing together with a group called the Singer's Dozen. Bonnie Miller was the leader of that, and a lot of great talent in that group. A lot of those folks are still here, and then a breakout group. From that formed a group called Swing Shift Vocal Quartet with the Swing Street Big Band, singing all those old great Pied Pipers and modern airs, close harmony
swing music
tunes, great swing music
with Joni Dirks and Alan Ball.
Yep.
Boy, that was a sweet ride.
It sure was. That was a fun time, fun chapter.
Mm-hmm. And now we have this dynamic duo of Tammy and Dave Gunter, Bridges Home.
Yeah, Bridges Home has been a fun ride. You know, since we started doing, since we listened to Steve and started doing originals, a great door just opened up for us in terms of different sorts of venues and different opportunities and a different audience, people who are really there to listen. And we've really been fortunate.
Are you having fun yet?
Oh, lots of fun.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be really fun right now to hear one of these original songs. We can either play it off the recording, or you can do a live version of something.
Let's do one. Let's do the lead-off hitter off of our Deep Roots CD. This has got that high lonesome sound that I kind of grew up on, and this one's called "Love Is a Long, Long Way."
And this is by Bridges Home.
Stolen keys that you died to own. Hey, just remember that love is a long, long way. Just remember that love is a long, long way. People talk about love like it's a hidden treasure, like it's a sacred jewel only the lucky ones find. But it can rough you up. It'll take your measure. It'll leave you heartbroken if you can't toe the line. When your heart is full and lonesome, and your head can't find a thing to say, every stolen kiss leaves you dying to want. Remember that love is a long, long way. Just remember that love. From a mountain, guarded like a secret, or carved in a stone. But if you can't go the distance, be somebody you can count on. If you don't really feel it, you wind up walking all alone. When your heart is full and lonesome, and your head can't find a thing to stolen kiss leaves you Just remember that love is a long, long way.
That's Bridges Home, Love is a Long, Long Way. That's a fun song. Now, I call that just straight out bluegrass?
Well, yeah, old time, bluegrass, Americana. It's, you know, there's so many labels anymore, but it's I know one thing, it sure is fun to play
it's
and sing.
It's a fun song. So, question about that song. Did one of you write the lyrics and one of you write the melody? Did you work on the melody together? This is a collaboration, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than writing a song all by yourself. So do you mostly collaborate on a song together, or one of you comes up with an idea? How does that work?
I probably take the first halting steps at getting a skeleton of a song lyrically together, maybe a little riff. A melody contour catches my ear, but Tammy sweeps in the process, bless her heart, and adds a lot of luster to things in terms of some great suggestions for things we can do melodically, always innovative harmonies, throwing in instrumental lines that I certainly would not have thought of. So from that standpoint, it is absolutely collaborative.
And what do you say, Tammy?
I agree with that. That's straight up. But he takes that first huge leap and gets it from there. Yeah.
And what about the lyrics?
Lyrics would probably be more my bailiwick. Most of my songs come when a line pops into my head. There's something about the rhythm of the line that kicks in, and then often a melody will be hot on its coattails, and then I'm off and running from that point. This particular song, Love is a Long, Long Way, started off with a little octave mandolin lick. I was just messing around, and then the line, "When your heart is full of lonesome," dropped from the sky, and I said, "All right, we're rolling."
You knew you had a song there.
Yeah, just the antenna were up, and the vessel was open, and it's interesting. Charlie Packard, we had a recent conversation, and he talked about a song space where he thinks that poetry and harmony and melody sort of swirl around. And if you're tapped into it, if you have that artist's discipline to keep coming back and saying, "I'm here, I'm ready, I'm ready to do the work," I think I agree with him. I think that artists are rewarded by that discipline. It's often frustrating, and you come away with nothing, and other times a song writes itself, and you're just hustling to keep up with it.
It's just their surprise.
Yeah, those are the great, those are the really fun songs.
So I have another question. I noticed that, and I've listened to much of your music, and in a description of your Bridges Home group, multi-instrumentalist, dual lead vocalist, purveyor of tasty Americana, Celtic roots, and originals. So when you write music, and that was a little bit bluegrass to me, do you write Celtic? Do you have a certain genre of the music that you write? Does it fall into a certain category, or is it expansive and you're just picking up what's next?
I think probably more the latter than the former. It's pretty expansive. Tammy melodically is informed by her Irish background, I'm certain, because her melodies have that heart-grabbing Irish quality that mine tend to be more, I don't know, more masculine, more driving. And her melodies are just these wonderful lilting things that you swear you could have heard 200-300 years ago.
But it's interesting. I think because we have such a varied and vast background, each very unique, that we bring a lot to the table. So when something just kind of flows out of you, you're not really sure what genre it would be necessarily, but it comes from all that vastness and maybe creating newness, mm-hmm. something new and different.
Exactly. I think you're right on about that.
Yeah.
And do you have another song that would kind of demonstrate what you were just talking about?
Yeah, there's a song that that we have on this CD, and we also had it on our previous CD in a less produced form, but we'll play this one here, right here, live in the studio. This is a song called Legacy of Love, and it was the title track from our second CD. It's one that lately we've got enough CDs out there, enough people have heard us enough that when we look out in the audience, we'll often see people singing along with this one. So this one goes out to all the gardeners and the grandparents, of which we are both.
If we die tomorrow, we'll have gardens to carry on and our children to smile upon from heaven. If we die tomorrow, then our grandson will feed the birds and sing all of the songs he heard and will leave behind a legacy of love. What's behind the veil? Loved ones go and we carry on. If we die tomorrow, we'll take long walks in another world and I'll take tea with my lady curled beside me. If we die tomorrow, voices will echo on as we rise up in another song and we'll leave behind a legacy of love. Behind the veil, loved ones go and we carry on. If we die tomorrow, we'll have gardens to carry on and our children to smile upon from heaven. If we die tomorrow, grandson will feed the birds and sing all of the songs he heard and will leave behind a legacy of love. He'll sing all of the songs he heard and will leave behind a legacy of love.
Legacy of Love, right here in the studios live with Dave and Tammy Gunter. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh. I feel like the luckiest person in the world to be in a sound room with a great music like that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's a pretty little tune, and it means a lot to us, and we feel entirely gifted and grateful that it apparently is starting to mean a lot to other people for all sorts of different reasons.
I can see that. It really says a lot, and it does have that aspect to it, Tammy. It's just its own new thing. It just came out of your life, and life brought it to you.
And that was written right after Dave's dad had died, and at that point we had one grandchild, Mr. Little Wesley. And now we have five. In the past year, we've had four other grandchildren. And Wesley the other day said, I think that instead of saying grandson, you should say Wesley will feed the birds.
He doesn't want to get mixed up with all the other grandsons.
All
now.
The other grandsons.
Well, when he's around, you could always use Wesley.
There you go.
Uh-huh. And with that thought, we've kind of touched on a little bit of what inspires you to in different songs. Obviously, it was all the blessings of your life and grandchildren and gardens and birds. I like the whistling. Mm-hmm. But what inspires this creative endeavor? I think we've touched on it a little bit, but boom.
So many things. We're lucky that we travel and make music. Have found a way to pull that off. And people, friends, places, different styles of music, even the weather in places. We have a song about the South, where my relatives are from, that's on the CD that has this kind of swampy Southern mojo feel to it. And it's an attempt to try to get our heads around what our trip to the South was all about, where we played some music with some fine folks and came back and a song mm-hmm. sprung forth from that.
So it sounds like part of it's paying attention because it might be all around you.
Being aware in mm-hmm. the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When we were in Hawaii, we were, this was several years ago, but we were working on a grad school project, kind of the end of grad school. And we were in Hawaii, and it was everything about Hawaii was just touching us. It was the waves, the colors, the wind, the smell, the folktales. And we ended up taking several Hawaiian folktales and thought, you know, we should set this to some music and storyline and so on and so on, weave it together. And we ended up writing a Hawaiian children's musical. Not that we perform it, but kids at school perform it. Mm-hmm. So it was just being aware and present when it hit us to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is 88.5 KRFY, and you're listening live in the studios of our radio station. This is Community Radio, to Between the Notes. And my guests tonight are Dave and Tammy Gunter from Bridges Home. Just to kind of veer off a little bit, I want to hear another song pretty quick, or we'd like to hear another song pretty quick. What instruments do you play? I saw a whole list on this one sheet of paper.
Oh, my goodness. I play in this particular duo. The most interesting instrument is the washboard for me.
My grandmother's washboard, I'll have you
yes.
know.
Yes. And guitar and ukulele. A little bit of banjo, the accordion, and I play bass on some things as well on this CD. But actually, Paul Gunter plays most of the time on this particular CD, and then harp, piano, a little of this and a little of that.
Multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, let's see. What do I sling? Guitar, of course. Clawhammer, banjo, the Irish whistle, low and high, octave mandolin, mandola, and resonator, slide guitar.
And the Indian flute.
Oh, Native American flute. Mm-hmm. And we both play a little bit of the Irish drum, the bowron. So we have an instrument problem, and we love to haul them out. In fact, David over at Monterey Winery the other night saw us setting up, and he came up and just shook his head and said, "You guys are out of control." We bring a lot of instruments.
A little sanguine on the instrument part of all this. You play a lot of places, and I know you have some performances coming up, but one of the questions I have, in a lot of various venues, festivals, wine bars, all kinds of things, do you have one venue or performance that stood out as a favorite?
You know, I think I do. Have you got one that jumps to mind? There was a performance we did at in Hope, at the Memorial Center in Hope. And it was a Celtic concert. And we ended with an instrumental arrangement of Shenandoah that we have. And a fella started humming with the melody. And we only played it as an instrumental. He started humming, and his wife just looked at him absolutely appalled. Like, what are you doing? But it was too late because several other people had joined in. And we have mentioned that at shows. And people love that great American folk melody. And now it's kind of that particular show started what has been a really sweet ritual for us. We'll play Shenandoah, and without saying anything, people who have heard us will start humming along.
Is that one of the songs that you were maybe going to play for us tonight?
We sure could. We could pull out Shenandoah for you.
Well, let's hear it.
Shall we do that?
Okay.
All right.
Might need a little tune-up moment and really
grab the octave mandolin here. So the octave mandolin is nothing more than the regular mandolin, which sounds like this, way down here. Kind of a guitaristic sound.
Exquisite. That's all I can say. That was beautiful. Tammy, your harmonies are perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up for your band.
Well, let's see. Another summer of festivals and theater shows. Last summer, we did about 40 shows, which was a blast. We're
dialing it back a little bit. Between North Dakota, Montana, Washington, and Idaho. Mm-hmm. Kind of move around between those four states.
We've been really enjoying the little festival circuit stuff and also seeking out some smaller historic theaters. It seems like every town has its version of the Panada Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And being huge lovers of our Grand Dame of downtown Sandpoint, the Panada, we really love playing in those small town theaters. They're just acoustically excellent and way big fun.
Warm audiences, too.
Yeah, yes. Small-town audiences are great.
And just, they're just so appreciative of having somebody come to perform.
Mm-hmm. Live music is so special. What's coming up in the near future?
May 1st will be part of the really wonderful lineup of artists that are paying tribute to Charlie Packard and helping raise him a little bit of money for his medical costs. You know, Charlie... is back. He's cancer-free from his cancer of the esophagus. He's able to eat. He's playing his guitar, toughening up his fingers, and sing it a little bit. He sang a snippet of a song for me about a week ago, and he hasn't sounded this good for 25 years. His voice sounds good. And I've known Charlie since I was 13, so I know what Charlie's voice can sound like. And so that's going to be exciting. We're doing a couple of Charlie's tunes at that one.
And where is that taking place?
That's at the Panada Theater, May 1st. And the Reader is one of the sponsors. I know the Panada's involved. And it's called An Evening with Charlie and Friends, I think.
Mm-hmm. I did look at some of the lineup, and it's really looks like fun.
It's going to be great fun to be part of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Couple other questions. We are kind of coming down to the wire here, but we can keep going because right after this is
we've got a bus to catch.
Okay,
no, we're fine.
A tour bus. right after this is the local music show with Jack. He may or may not show up, and so we could hear another recorded song.
Sure.
And then put the rest of them down into the rest of the hour.
That'd be great. Let's do a tune that Tammy sings. This one features Bruce Bishop on Weisenborn guitar. It's called In Bed with the Blues. And I literally had to lobby for Tammy to sing this one. She said, no, that's your song. But she does a great job on it. It sounds to me a little bit like some early Linda Ronstadt influence there.
So this really gives us a picture of the wide variety of music that you bring to our listening pleasure.
This is the blues corner.
This is the blues corner. Okay, this is In Bed with the Blues with Bridges Home. We'll just listen.
This morning, and you opened up your eyes. That's when you heard your bad news. Love took a ride, no one's laying by your side. Now you're in bed with the blues.
Turn and toss till it's just a crying sin. 'Cause you know the blues won't let you loose now that love won't let you in. You got one too many pillows and the mattress feels too wide. Then the blues slips in beside you and says, baby, hold me tight.
Hard times and trouble.
Turn and toss till it's just a crying sin. 'Cause you know the blues
won't let you loose. Now that love won't let you in. You got one too many pillows, and the mattress feels too wide. Then the blues slips in beside you and says, baby, hold me tight.
Sun rose this morning and you opened up your eyes. That's when you heard your bad news. Love took a ride. No one's laying by your side. Now you're in bed with the blues.
Now you're in bed with the blues.
Now you're in bed.
In Bed with the Blues with Bridges Home. And a shout out to Bruce Bishop for that slide guitar on the Weisenborn guitar.
Yep, Bruce, he's the man.
And you had a lot of other people kind of working on this CD.
We had a few people helping. We mentioned our son Paul Gunter on bass, and he's going to be doing several shows with us this summer. Bruce was on Weisenborn. Dennis Coates came and played banjo on a bluegrass song that's on the CD called Sweet High Lonesome Sound, and he just tears it up. And then there's a fiddle player named Terry Ludeker.
Oh my gosh, you had Terry on your CD? Oh, good.
Terry is truly amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was, after he was done with his take, I was on the floor saying, we're not worthy. But Terry was on fiddle on that same bluegrass song, so some great help.
It's really nice to have musical friends.
Yeah, well, Rob Kincaid did the engineering for us. He's another strong musical friend and a great ear for all this. So a lot of support. And of course, Steve Garvin, who really, I would say, started this CD by saying, write original music.
Thanks to all the friends. A couple more questions, and we're about ready to wrap it up. And this is... you may have already touched on this a little bit when you mentioned where Charlie thinks music comes from, but where do you think music comes from? What is it? Silence.
You know, I think music comes from our very marrow. I think music is the air that we breathe and the blood in our veins. Music is a life force. It's a constant. It's not something electronic, and then we don't download it. It doesn't have an off switch. It's just in its all of its beatific forms, perpetually there, waiting to give us just a wonderful big hug. And if we're musicians and songwriters and performers, we have, even a deeper, more intimate relationship with that. With that lovely muse.
I would have to agree with that. And I see that every day. We see that every day at school with kids. I mean, it's just part of them. It's the very center of their core. It's in their heart. And just needs to be released.
Given
an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with that same thought in mind, connecting with that special thing in life, that spiritual force, I call it. But why do you write songs? I know it's recent that you started writing songs, but what is pulling you towards that?
Songwriting is something when you immerse yourself that sort of foists itself upon you. Writers know this. Poets certainly know this. You walk through, I told Tammy when Steve said, start writing, and she said, you should. I said, well, I'm afraid to open that door again. Because when you do, when you step across that threshold, a good 50% of your brain is constantly in the artist mode, constantly cogitating and overhearing people in the grocery store line and saying, ooh, that's a cool line. Or looking at somebody when you're talking with them and suddenly all the parts of a bridge to a song that have been hard to pull together start coming together in your mind. You're sort of always there. So it's a real relationship. You have to be very committed. And That's why I write songs, because I have to. They won't leave me alone.
Well, and trusting your creative juices, that sometimes it's going to flow, and you'll love what you hear back. And other times it comes out and it's not going to work, but still it was there. And so you just need to honor and trust that it's a process, and there's ups and downs, but it's always moving, always changing, always going forward. I think.
I really want to thank you both for sharing your songwriting journey with us this evening. And as it is a journey, it continues.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like we've just taken the first baby steps at our youthful ages towards what's some exciting chapters to come.
Enjoy every moment. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in this evening to 88.5 KRFY and this evening's edition of Between the Notes. You can join us next week. My guest will be Justin Landtrip, who will be the featured artist at Live at the Office concert at the Sandpoint Reader the Thursday after next Tuesday. And I want to thank Dave Hussey for the Between the Notes theme song that you hear at the beginning of the show. And coming up next is the local music show, and I did put a couple more Bridges Home songs down in that mix, that set list. We hope you have a good evening. But before we say goodbye, for real, we're going to leave with a song by Bridges Home. It's called A Buffalo Nickel and a Roosevelt Dime. So do you want to tell us about the song before
sure,
we start?
Sure, quickly. And I love that Dave Hussey tune, too, mm-hmm. but I'm a fanboy of Mr. Hussey. He's mm-hmm. one of my favorite guitar players and composers. This song, that phrase popped into my head, a Buffalo Nickel and a Roosevelt Dime. And then I thought, okay, there's a certain rhythmic quality there. And it kind of had a little groove. It wrote itself around growing up, being a boomer, and collecting pop bottles, being 7 years old and going all the neighbors with a wagon and going to the drugstore, cashing in your pop bottles, and leaving with 15 cents and feeling like the richest guy on earth. So it's very much period-oriented. Boomers will get this one. It's got some references that boomers will get, including anyone who grew up where there was a Good Humor Man ice cream truck. It starts off with that theme. So there
and
it is.
On the cigar box.
Oh, that's right. Another call-out. John Pfeiffer, very talented. He doesn't call himself a luthier. I do. John builds cigar box guitars, and I'm playing one of his cigar box guitars, a slide cigar box guitar on this one, and John did not. It was an omission that I wish hadn't happened, but did not get mentioned on the CD. But John Pfeiffer, cigar box guitars, you need to get yourself a couple.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Tammy and Dave.
Thank you,
Thank
Susie.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bridges Home, a Buffalo Nickel and a Roosevelt Dime, and we hope you have a wonderful evening.
Saturday job. We're hitting up the neighbors while we're making our rounds. Gotta get the pop bottles that we take downtown. Hurry now, mister, won't you count them up fast? 'Cause I'm a steady rolling man and I need my cash. We never had a lot of money, we had a good time with a Buffalo Nickel and a Roosevelt Dime. place when you're 7 years old, and an empty pop bottle is as good as gold. For the little one, nickel for the tall, love to hear the way they rattle when we make our haul.
Hurry now, mister, won't you count them up fast? 'Cause I'm a steady rolling man and I need my cash. We never had a lot of money, but we had a good time. With a Buffalo nickel and a Roosevelt town.